Acts chapter 16, and I'll pray, and then we'll get right into the Word. Father in heaven, we one more time want to yield ourselves to you and yield this time of preaching, Father. I ask you, Lord, that your precious Spirit would now, Lord, help us to be yielded to receive your Word and to not only be listeners, but to be doers. We believe and know that you have promised us that your Word would not come back void, so we ask that you would help us to be yielded, Lord, when you speak to us. Lord, I pray for laborers. And Father, the solution to the problem of laborers was not, Lord, more fancy administration or other new ideas that you gave in your word, but simply Christ said, call unto the Lord of the harvest, that he would send more laborers. And I ask you, Lord, tonight in faith that you would call more people into the harvest. We know, Lord, that the laborers are few and the harvest is plenteous, but I ask that you would answer our prayer, Lord. And we ask this believing in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. We touched this morning on Acts chapter 16, verse number 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And I mentioned how we see the fulfillment of the Great Commission, or we see the fulfillment of what God has for us to do. And we understand, I love the beauty and the joy of the Great Commission is that it starts with soul winning and it ends with soul winning. It starts with some person telling some other person about Christ, and it ends with that new person that just heard the gospel one day doing the same thing, going and telling another person. And you've probably heard this in missions conference or different missionaries coming by, that if we start with one Christian that just shares the message of Christ and disciples another believer, and those two believers the next year do the same, and they reach two more, that's four. And the four reach another four in year three, that would be eight. And if you do the math with that, in 36 years, we'd reach the world with the gospel. Every generation would reach the world with the gospel. And you might say, well, that sounds too easy to be true. Well, I don't think that God gave us some plan that was just very complex that we're only supposed to preach about. I truly believe that he gave us a plan that can be done. And I believe that with my whole heart. That's why I'm giving my life to the Great Commission. That's why I'm serving the Lord. And because I believe that he can do what he's asked for us to do. And here we see in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith that increased in number daily. Those churches that it speaks to there, I just love what was going on here. We see and that this starts in verse number 35 where Paul says to Barnabas, they continued in Antioch, in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren. D.L. Moody said this, it's not what we can accomplish in our lifetime, but what we can set in motion that matters for the Lord. Again, not what we can accomplish in our lifetime, but what we can set in motion. And I wonder what the Lord would set in motion in this missions conference. I wonder with the 20 minutes that we have left or so, what will happen with the Holy Spirit? What will he do when a believer yields his life to the calling of the Holy Spirit? And can I share with you a few things here? And truly this evening, if I could just share a little bit more of my testimony and a few principles that God took me through when he called me into missions work after working in church at a church on staff, and we had a successful business, as you can say, and things were going well. Well, what did God have to do in my heart to guide me into this calling of missions work, and what happened in my own walk with the Lord? Well, the first thing is, we mentioned this morning that Paul and Barnabas, how were they able to see churches established and those churches increase with new people being added? We saw that the key is they just continued doing what they were supposed to do. We talked about that many times in our church calendars or in America with our schedules, things can become routine. If I can be a little bit honest with you, sometimes my wife and I, we have to pray and ask the Lord to revive our hearts again, like the psalmist said, revive my heart again, because we'll walk into a missions conference and then we'll pack our bags and get on the road and walk into another missions conference. And then we pack our bags there and go down to Arizona or Ohio or Wisconsin and we go to another missions conferences. And you know, that can become very routine unless we are revived once again. And I see that Paul had many reasons of why not to continue. We see in verse 26 of Acts chapter 15, it said, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that because in the context of Scripture, where Paul was almost stoned to death, he returned there again. in Acts chapter number 16, where the Bible says that he went back into Iconium and Lystra and these places, and there was a young boy named Timothy there. And here we start the principles that we talked about this morning. First, we saw they continued even though there was a lot of difficult seasons. They continued even though there was disagreement between Paul and Barnabas in what to do. And I mentioned to you that any time in a local church, I truly believe that God starts working, the Holy Spirit starts moving, one of the things that will happen is there will be discord and there will be contention in a local church. And in Ephesians 4, it tells us that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. May I remind you that what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your church is to create unity so that we can exalt the person of Jesus Christ. In Latin America, we struggle teaching this many times that the Holy Spirit, the charismatic movement has been so successful in Latin America. It's not about jumping up and down and throwing yourself on the floor and speaking in this language. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to exalt himself. He wants to exalt Jesus Christ in the local church. We not only see that with Paul and Barnabas, there is a disagreement, but I love this. Even though there was disagreement, they continued. But also they continued in discipleship, because in verse 39 it says, "And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus." See, here we see that even though there was a disagreement between the men of God, they still continued to do that work that had to be done. And the believers in Cyprus were encouraged. And again, Barnabas went there because they had established some work there in the first missionary journey. But in verse 40, the Bible says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren into the grace of God." So what else can we see this afternoon and evening from this chapter other than the principles that we learned this morning? Well, read with me in verse number 1 of chapter 16. "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra," talking of Paul. "And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." One of the things that I see in this passage that we can learn is, what is my involvement in the Great Commission? Sitting in Madison, Wisconsin, or as you are in Madison, Wisconsin, what is your involvement in the Great Commission? Well, we talked and we said this morning that God would call many of us to go, and we'll see that in the context here tonight. But more than that, can you see with me that before verse 5 takes place, that the churches are established, that they increase in number, that the gospel is moving forward? Notice with me a few principles that had to happen. Number one, I see that there was a man with a vision, the Apostle Paul. There was a man that saw Timothy, just a young boy, and said, you know, Timothy can be useful for the kingdom of God, can be used to do something. Notice this in verse 3, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him." Verse number 3 again says, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him." Notice this. I love that it doesn't say Timothy said, "I want to join the Apostle Paul." It didn't say Timothy said, "You know what? The man that got stoned last time he came here, I want to go with him." No, but Paul noticed something in Timothy, and he saw that he was a young man that had good report of the believers. So what's the first principle that I'd see here from Scripture? May I encourage you as a mature believer, encourage young people to serve God. Amen. You know, encourage the young people in your church, and it could be that you would say to one of them, "I can see you serving on the mission field one day." It could be that you can say to one of them, if you ever have the opportunity to go to the mission field or so, that you can see them serving there, encouraging them to get involved or to give in Faith Promise Mission. But use your influence to encourage the next generation. When the Lord started working in my heart and took the peace away, that's how it started. I was serving at First Baptist and things were going well. And truly, after a missions conference, I just had no peace in what I was doing. I just felt like there was a desire from God to do the next step. I remember talking to my pastor about this, and I didn't know what it meant. I'll never forget the first time I went to speak to my pastor, and he just said, "Caleb, I think you need to keep praying and seeking God, because I think this is of the Lord and what he would have you do." Well, I remember that after that time, I started fasting and praying and seeing, "Lord, what would you have me do? What is this desire?" I knew I wanted to do something. I knew God was burdening my heart. And a good mature believer, an assistant pastor friend of mine, we had gotten to a conference in Tennessee and we were sitting in the cafeteria and lunch and a break. And he looked at me and he said, Caleb, he said, what do you think God's going to have you do in ministry? He knew I was serving in the church. He knew I was there, but he sensed and saw that there was more that God would have me do. And he said, what would God have you do in ministry? Or what do you think God's going to have you do? As if I wasn't doing anything. But I remember telling him, I said, honestly, I don't know. He did not know that I was fasting and praying. He didn't know that my heart was heavy. He didn't know that that morning I was in tears crying and saying, Lord, please just speak to me. Tell me what it is. And that man looked at me and he said, Caleb, have you ever considered to be an evangelist? Never in my mind, never in all the years, honestly, growing up in church, had I ever thought of being an evangelist. I remember that at that moment I said no, and I really didn't think much about it. I didn't even remember it. I didn't think at that moment a light bulb went off. No, really nothing happened. But a few weeks later, I believe a few days later, the Lord led me into Ephesians reading in Scripture, and God confirmed it through His Word. And then I remember as I started to think of this thing called an evangelist, I went to my pastor and I said, I think God's working in my heart about this ministry of the evangelist. And my pastor looked at me and said, well, what branch of evangelism? And I said, I didn't even know there was a tree. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, what do you mean what branch of evangelism, man? And my pastor said, Caleb, keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord about that. Well, then as I started studying the ministry of the evangelist, of course, in America, it's more common for an evangelist to stay here within our country, and that's good. But I believe that God is moving to move evangelists to the mission field as well and to give us missionary evangelists because we have a lot of missionaries serving overseas that can use help and can use more boots on the ground. And as I thought of that, as the Lord kept working in my heart, I thought, well, you know what? I'm too young. So I said to myself, great, I know what God is calling me to do, but I need to take time to prepare and take a few years. And I'm too young. I think I was 23 or 24 at that time or something of that nature. And then we went to another conference the next year, and Brother Scott Polley got up as he was preaching, and he said, at the end of the conference, he said, I want all evangelists, or if you feel called to be an evangelist, I want you to meet me at this restaurant. And I remember looking at my pastor and I said, I think I'm called. I don't really know. My pastor said, why don't you just go anyways and see what would happen? And I went there still thinking, well, if anybody asks me, I'm going to tell them I'm training and I'm still too young and I don't know what I'm doing and I don't even know what an evangelist is. And I sat next to a 21-year-old kid at that meeting. Out of all places that I could sit, I got there and it was full. And they looked at me and said, hey, why don't you sit right here? And I sat there and I sat to this 21-year-old kid and I looked at him and I said, what do you do? What do you do? He said, I'm an evangelist. I said, wow. I said, okay. And he had driven there with his wife and his daughter and he was serving the Lord. God just kept taking every excuse out of the way for me. But you know what was in the mix? Mature believers that were helping me to move forward. And if I can just encourage you tonight, if there's a thought that the Holy Spirit's put in my heart, seek the Lord and have a vision for the young people in your church. Encourage them to serve the Lord. May I ask you, are you praying that it might be that God would call your children to the mission field? A few months back, I had the joy to take Don Sis to the airport after our missions conference at our church. And I was driving with Brother Sisk up to Chicago. And I looked over at him and I said, Brother Sisk, I said, what do you think it's the number one reason that about 80%, 75 to 80% of the Bible college graduates in America are staying in America? Why do you think that 3 out of every 4 students that go to Bible college stay in America when only 4 out of every 100 people live in our country? Doesn't seem right there. He had mentioned it all throughout the conference that week. He had studied and done some numbers and talked to some people, and they were seeing that so many of our students were staying in America, Bible college graduates. And I asked him, what do you think? You know what Brother Sis looked at me and said? He said, Caleb, I remember the day as a young man where we used to fast and pray that God would call our children to the mission field. And that has never become so real to me as the moments that I have to video call my mom on the mission field so that she can see her grandkids. That has never become so real to me as to think that there's fear. Many times there can be thoughts of, well, what if I don't know if I want my child to go to the mission field, or what if I rather them have a successful career in America, or what if I want to have my grandkids here next to me? When I was a kid, the last thing that I was thinking on the mission field is that my grandma missed her mom, or that our family really missed us. I just thought that was home and that's where we were, but there was all these other struggles on the other end. So what is it I'm trying to say is, I ask of you to pray and say, Lord, help me to see, just like Paul saw in Timothy, to encourage young people to serve the Lord. My journey started with an adult man, a spirit-filled man that looked at me and said, Caleb, have you considered to be an evangelist? The next principle that I see here in Scripture that I love is we see this. We see a mom or grandpa, a grandma or family members dedicated to raise up godly children. Look, it says here in verse number 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain what? Woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Notice the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy at the end of the Apostle Paul's life. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So Brother Caleb, what is my role in the Great Commission? Some principles that we can learn here as churches are being established, as people are being saved. What had to happen for this verse to come to life? We needed mature believers to see a Timothy and say, why don't you come with me? I see what God can do with you. The second thing is, we see that there's a godly mother and a godly grandmother, godly family members rearing children to know the Word of God. You know that when there's been difficult times in my life that I truly haven't understood or what God is doing, and I'm just 30 years old, I haven't had many difficult times, but you know when there has been, what I remember? My parents and what they did in my life and seeing their example to go to the Scriptures. Oh, how we need a revival of just knowing the Word of God. What is my role, Brother Caleb, in missions? Train up the next generation, your children, to know the Holy Scriptures. To know Scripture. And the last principle, and we'll be done. I also see this. Would you read verse number 4 with me? And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And then here it is. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. There we have missions work happening, being successful, seeing people saved, churches established. Well, what had to happen? We needed a mature believer that saw the potential in a young person. We see that his family members, his mother, we see a single mom, we see a grandmother, a mother instructing Timothy from a young age. But then we also see this in verse number 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. We see that a mature believer makes ministry come to life. We see a mature believer doing ministry with a younger believer. It's not only, Lord, please send my children to the mission field, or God, call my kids into the ministry, or it's not, help them to serve you in whatever he would have. It might be an attorney or a doctor or whatever God would have your children do. It's not only also a mother or a grandmother, family members teaching them Scripture, but it's also children seeing in the next generation, seeing in the mature believers, true Christianity at play. Paul said, Timothy, come with me. And what he was doing there in the context of Scripture was helping establish these new churches with what the Holy Ghost had said, that circumcision was not necessary to be saved. And Timothy sees Paul after he was stoned to death. Remember the first time that Paul came into these cities, he was stoned to death in chapter 14 and 15. But he comes back again. Can you imagine Timothy, if he was alive back in that time, thinking because of Acts, we can see that Timothy was around that time, not many years had passed, but we see, wow, here's Paul again. Last time I saw him, he was almost stoned to death, but he came back. And then he said, come with me. And Timothy saw what Paul did. That's why Paul told him at the end of his life, but thou, Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, but also my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. At the end of his life, Timothy, as a pastor at Ephesus, receives his letter from Paul and goes back in his mind to say, I remember the manner of life of Paul. May I ask you, if a young person sees your manner of life, what would be the result of that? I'll never forget the time that the Lord chose to take my dad through difficult seasons in the mission field. I remember my mom struggling with her health. I remember my dad, a battle to start the church in that metropolitan city in the Caribbean where he was handcuffed because of showing up to a rented place that we had rented and paid money for the church. And another military official came by and said, this is not going to be a church here. So the day I die, he said, this will not be a church. And praise God, today there's a church there. Amen. And I'll never forget all those difficulties in seeing my dad. I'll never forget when a business owner came in the middle of our service and placed a big speaker right next to our church door and just blasted music and hired five women to stand there selling alcohol and horrible things right next to the door. I remember being a kid walking out and seeing all this. And my dad brought us all into church. You know what I saw my dad do? He just grabbed a chair, went to the front sidewalk of our church, and started praying. People thought he was crazy. He just started praying, lifting up his hands to heaven, and asked God to do something great. And now going back so many years later, seeing a church edified and believers and new churches started from that ministry, I saw the manner of life of a man that had given himself to the gospel. What is your role in the Great Commission today? See potential in young people and encourage them to do it. Train up your children and the young generation in the scriptures, for through them we are made perfect unto good works. And lastly, I just encourage you that your manner of life would be an example that they could follow. Making disciples for Christ. I wonder who will be here in church in a year from now because of your influence and your work. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time and your word. Lord, your word is so marvelous. Thank you, Father, for answering my prayer and giving me the message to preach, God. I believe that you are calling laborers out of Madison Baptist Church. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be yielded to what you have for us in our life, Pastor.